I hope that you clapped your hand for me, but I would like you now to clap hand for Jesus Christ. And I would like to add something. When we clap hand for the King of Kings, we cannot sit down. We have to stand up and to shout for him. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I think that at this moment now, even the angel in the heaven, they are looking among shadow. The same movie is shouting there for Jesus. Someone is clapping his hand for Jesus. I would like to say that this is a secret if you want God to come near to you. He's writing in the book of Psalm. It's not our message for today, but I was looking at just wanted to encourage you all the time. When you clap your hand, you can stand up, you can do something for Jesus. And when you are doing it, I think that is Holy Spirit who puts this kind of things in our hearts to do it for our God. If you remember what God has done in your life, you can do something for him. That's why you see in the Bible when they are talking about David, when he was coming with the Ark of Covenant, he was dancing. I think that maybe sometimes he was turning on the ground, and his wife just stand on the windows and saw that the king was dancing with all his strength. And said, "What kind of king you are?" And I would like to say that actually there are some people, they cannot shout for Jesus. But he liked it. Unfortunately, I want to tell you that he liked it when he shouts to him. When he was going to Jerusalem, people were shouting, dancing for him. And the people who are very clever, who don't like to shout, they said that, "Jesus, take your disciple, the disturbing people." And Jesus said that, "If they stop to worship me, I'm able to talk to those stone and they will get mouth to worship me." Because there were so many people who didn't like to shout, to sing for him. He said that I can give mouth to those stone. But today, you and I, we are here in the presence of the Lord. We have to worship him. I would like to say that today it will be different because we'll pray more. And we know that through the prayer, God is able to do something in our life. And our subject today, for today, is if you love me, keep my command. If you love Jesus, if you love him, we have to keep his command. And I think that there is a reward for everyone who keeps his command. Here, I'd like to say that don't look my accent, don't look anything. I know that Mount Chapel is my church. You know how I used to speak. If you don't understand something, I believe that Holy Spirit will explain you. Because we are under anointing of Holy Spirit. Amen? You don't understand? Just ask God this word he said. What is the meaning of it? He didn't pronounce it well, but Holy Spirit explained me. He'll do it. So, today we are talking about to obey God's or Jesus' command. You know, sometimes when you are talking about commandments, it's very difficult for so many people to understand that through commandment we can get a blessing in our life. Because this time, I know, Fountain of Life, we are talking about the benefit of grace. Jesus came with grace. Moses came with the law, but Jesus came with grace and the truth, as is written in the book of John, 1:17. I didn't prepare it, but as I told Steve that Steve, I will talk some verses just to be ready to put it on the screen. So, John 1:17 says that Moses came with the law, but Jesus came with grace and truth. But we saw that when Jesus was with his disciple, he explained so many things about life. So many things. Jesus talked about marriage. He talked about how to receive a prophet. He talked about so many things about life. And after that, he's talking that if you obey this command, after that you'll get some reward. So there is something you have to get at the benefit when we obey to his command. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What can we say? Is it Jesus against the law? No, he's not against the law. But the grace means that we have to respect the law as well. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, 11 and 12, I think that you can read it, and then we'll read our subject where we found it. So now I think that Steve can find for us Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12. What the grace teach us? You see that for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. And 12, what the grace teach us? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. We are in this present age. This is what the grace of God teaches us. The grace doesn't say that we have to do everything in our life, so God is happy when we are living in sin. We are doing everything. We don't obey his command. God is not happy. And I would like now to read with you our subject for today in the book of John 14. We start from 15, verse 15. If you love me, keep my command. Don't worry, when I came here, I've got a quick course from Steve. I asked him what is how to pronounce command, I know. Comment, I know. Commandment, I know. And law, I know. So, he told me that command is something, you command someone to do something. This is command. But commandment, it's some law or some condition of things that you give to someone to obey. This is commandment. But Jesus was talking to disciples, said that if you love me, this is a conditional. In the French, he used to say that it's conditional. If you love Jesus, keep my command. Command. We have to keep his command. And we can continue. And I will ask the Father, and will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is all promises from Jesus. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This is very thing we have to get a revelation about it. You can back to 20. and say that on that day you will realize that I am in Father and you are in me and I am in you. Today I would like you to realize that Jesus is in the Father and we are in him, and Jesus is inside us. Do you believe that Jesus is in you today? Do you believe that Jesus is in you? I don't see you. Yes. Do you believe that Jesus is in you? So, 21. Verse 21. Whoever has my command and keep them is the one who loves me. Now we come back now to verse 15. He's talking like the same thing. He said that, yeah, if you love me, keep my command. I like this. God bless you. Whoever has my command and keep them, you see, command is in the plural. It's not singular. French we say singulier, but I think that in English is singular. He said that, so it's many command. He said that, and keep them, is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. He's talking about his Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. So today, if you cannot see God in your life, just ask yourself, do I keep Jesus' command or not? If you don't see him, that's why we said that I'll show myself to them. The love of God is not when I give money to someone. No, this is not love. No, I used to send my money to Africa because there's one boy there, I take it. It's good what you are doing. But the love of God is something else, because the Bible said that I can give even my body, I can give everything I have, but if I don't have love in my heart, I'm like this symbol. I think that they call it in English as well. We like it when the music is there, but if we like, they just stop this symbol here. Someone will say that, why this kind of noise? But the symbol, among other instruments, when they beat it, so it makes the music good sometimes. But the Bible said that I can give even my body, I can give everything, but if I don't have love in my heart, so everything I'm doing, I'm like this symbol. But how now I can justify the love I have in my heart? That love I can justify it only when I keep Jesus' command. Jesus' command. He was talking with some people who came to him. They just asked him, they said, tell us, what is the biggest commandment in the Bible? In the law, they asked him because they was looking to know what Jesus is going to say about it. And in the book of Matthew, they tell us the commandment, they give us commandment. Jesus gave what we have to keep in our life to show that to love, we love him. In the book of Matthew 22. Did you write it? Or I can read it myself. So he said that one of them, an expert in the law, he was like a doctor, tested him. He was testing Jesus. Him with this question. What is the question? Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the answer of Jesus. He said that we have to love God with all our soul. He said that love the Lord your God with all your heart. The heart is the symbol of spirit. It means spirit. With all your spirit, all heart, and with all your soul. And you know that the soul is the basis of emotion. Where sometimes you look at the life, what you are going through, you have some feeling inside you, some emotion. But he said that love him with all your soul. When you want to take some decision in your life, we have to ask God, God, can you tell me about this person who did bad things to me? Because you love him, and God will tell you something. And because God is love, God will tell you that you have to forgive him. And say that love him with all your soul and all your mind. As I said that today, we are going to pray. You'll take now 1 minute. You can stand where you are and say to God, God, fill me with your love. I want to love you with all my heart. I'd like you to pray. Just 1 minute and we'll sit down again. Just stand up and we'll pray now. I said that today is different. We have to pray. Just say now something to your God. Say, God, I want now to obey you. I want to love you with all my heart. Just say it now to God. With your word, say it now to your God. I don't say that to pray inside your heart. I would like you to pray with words. Say something from your mouth. Say something to your God. Amen. Amen. You can sit down. As I said that today, we'll pray more. So, we need this kind of love with all our heart, mind, and soul. When we love God, God will be in the first position of our life. This is what Jesus was looking to talk to his disciple. But now we have to think ourselves. When there is a big match on television and there is a service in the church, what do you use to choose in your life? If they put money here and they put God here, what are you going to choose? Are you going to choose God? I think that you tell me that no, you need money. Money is very important. But the Bible said that God has to be the first one we love in our life. If you love money, we love all kinds of things which are in this world. It becomes like idolatry. That's why when we read it in the book of Titus, we said that the grace teach us to say no to other things. And have to know, to love God more in our life. You know, what you are talking about, the commandment, in Israel, it was very important for them because it distinguished them from other nations. Israel, when he came out from Egypt, the Bible said that when they were going to wilderness, to desert, they didn't know what is waiting for them there. The same you and I today, when we become Christian, we think that everything will be good. But sometimes you are struggling in your life. And you are crying in the middle of night. You say that, oh Lord, where are you? I believe in Jesus. And you think that everything should be light in your life. You think that everything can be easy in your life. But sometimes, at that time when the people of Israel went to desert in wilderness, the Bible said that they met water. Everyone knows that water is life. That's why you see so many people, astronauts, they say that they are going all the time to Mars, which is planet somewhere. I don't know. I've never seen it, but I just see it on TV. If it's not, so we have to believe that Mars exists. Do you believe that Mars exists? You found some people in the world, they said that, no, me, I don't believe that God exists because I don't see him. But if you ask him, do you accept that Mars exists? Oh, yes, I exist. Mars is somewhere. Have you seen it? No. And they are still checking if there is water in the Mars. Because they said that if there is water there, so water is the symbol of life. Wherever water is, there is life. And the first thing when the people of Israel came in desert, the first thing they found, it was water. And the water said that it was bitter. That water. We can read it in the book of Exodus, because in that place is the first time God gave, why I read it, is the first time God gave now commandment to people of Israel. And there is one promise after this commandment he gave them. That's why we'll see this commandment, and as I said, that we'll pray more, and we'll pray for that. Let us see in the book of Exodus. Sometimes you can back to some verses I've read already, but here they said that Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. You know that Jesus died for 3 days, and the 3rd day he rose up. Everyone know it. And they said that they walked in desert for 3 days, and they found water the desert without finding water. Let us see now what happened. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. And what happened? So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" And as I said that, we can keep it there. But I just said that the life sometimes is very hard for us when we come to Jesus. We saw that these people was coming from Egypt, and now they was in wilderness. In that wilderness, they didn't find the water. When they found the water was bitter. And it was very difficult for them to drink. They asked Moses, they start to crumble. This is what the Bible said, that they saw the people crumbled against Moses. It was a big sin in Israel to crumble. And if you see it in the book of Numbers 14, we are not going to read it. If we read the five first verse, they are talking about crumbling in the desert for people of Israel. They were talking the same thing. Can you imagine? Between them, someone said that, let us now choose someone among us who can lead us. We have to go back to Egypt. But they didn't think, who is going now to separate water for them? Yeah, you can decide to go to Egypt. It's good. Good decision for you. But who is going to separate water for you? Because Moses was not with them. Moses, they said, saying, what are we to drink? This is the questions sometimes we ask all the time when the life is very tough for us. We are thinking, what am I going to do now? I would like to tell you that if you are struggling with some situation, you have to know that Jesus knows everything in your life. Jesus is not surprised for our life. All situations we are going through, just to know that Jesus is there. The life is bitter. I want to tell you that Jesus is there. Hallelujah. Jesus is there. In all situations of your life, Jesus is there. Don't say that, why now I'm sick? Why this kind of sickness in my body? Oh, let us see now what is watching in this place. What happened there? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. The piece of wood. Can you shout, piece of wood? And this piece of wood is like the cross of Jesus. To the cross, we have everything. Are you struggling with some situation? There is a piece of food for you. I was thinking that you'll say amen very strongly. Can you say aloud amen?
Amen.
Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There is the Lord. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. This is the first time the ruling. God give them now some instruction to obey. For the first time, do we need good life? Look at the cross of Jesus. We have to lift our eyes to the cross of Jesus. If there is some situation which is very hard for you, there is piece of food for you. Everything will get it on the cross. You need healing? The healing is on the cross of Jesus. Let us see now the next verse. What is written there? And you see it. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord, your God, and do what is right in His eyes, if you obey, in other words, you can say that, if you keep my command, this is what is written here. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His command, to His commands, and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptian, for I am the Lord who heals you. If you are sick here, I'd like you to believe now in this word. But that Jesus is saying that He's the Lord who is healing you.
Amen.
If you keep my command, if you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, if you obey to all instruction I give you, He said that I will not bring on you all of the diseases I brought on the Egyptian. For I am the Lord who heals you. If you are sick here, I would like you to believe to this word. What Jesus said to His disciple, after that He said that He's talking about Holy Spirit. He said that, and I will ask my Father, He will send another advocate. And when He will come to you, you know Him, because He is living in you. This is very important. The Holy Spirit is not the gift for the world, but salvation is the gift for the world. The Holy Spirit is the gift only for children of God. And this healing is coming to children of God who obey Him, who keep His command. I think that you have prayed here. We said, Lord, fill us with your love. And now I would like to pray for some people who are sick. If you are not sick, just pray for someone in this church. I want to see someone to say that, no, I've been healed. We are not doing it just to show that you are praying, but I would like you to pray with all your heart to say that, God, I feel your anointing now in this preaching. I'd like you to heal me. I'd like you to stand up now. If someone is sick in your family, just for 1 minute, just stand up now and we'll pray. Someone is sick in your family, you'll pray now with all your heart. Say something to the Lord. Say, God, I want now this healing which is coming from you. There is solution. We have now the answer from this piece of wood, the cross of Jesus. I would like you now to pray with all your heart, to say something to your God. And ask now healing right now. I don't say that is for tomorrow or for another day, but I say that is for now. Just to pray for now with all your heart. If you have someone in your family who is sick, pray for him. And I believe that God will hear your voice. Pray with all your heart. Say something to God now. Pray with all your heart. Say something to your God. Amen. We can sit down. Do you believe that God has done something in you? Because sometimes when you are praying, you look at some symptom in your body, you say that, no, I'm just the same, so nothing happened to me. That's why Jesus was teaching to his disciple. He said that, if you love me, keep my command. You have to listen what Jesus said to his disciples. He said that when you are praying, you ask for something, believe that you have got what you're asking from God. And then it will happen in your life. First, you have to believe. You believe first and it will happen in your life. When you ask for something, you don't see it. You don't know how it will happen in your life, but just believe that Jesus is doing his work in your body. He was explaining to his disciples, he said, the kingdom of the heaven is like the seed you throw on the ground. And you don't know how it will grow. You don't know. You can stay there day and night, sitting, watching. I want to see how this seed will grow. You will not see it. Because it's God who will do it. And he said to these people who was coming from Egypt, he told them, he made first miracle, the water which was bitter become a good water. And this happened at the time of Elisha as well. People say that, yeah, the country, the city is very nice. If you look in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, they are talking about Elisha. He said that, yeah, the land is good. The city is very nice. But the water is not good, it's the... unproductive. I don't know if we can read it. It's in 2 Kings. We can just find it quickly and read it. 2 Kings, chapter 2, and we start from verse 19. The people of city said to Elisha, look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see. But the water is bad. Ah, okay. Thank you very much. Here we are talking about water. Water, I said that is the symbol of your life. It's the symbol of my life. He said that the people of the city said to Elisha, look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Ah, yeah, I said the right word. So now, 20. 20. Bring me a new bowl He said, and put salt in it. A new bowl, bring a new heart to me. You have heard the word of God, but now he said that bring now the new heart to me. And you said, not Emmanuel, but what is the meaning of salt now? The salt is you and I. The salt is the word of God. Is you and I as well. Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. You are the salt. Bring me now the new ball, the new heart. And when they brought it to him, the Bible said that he went and he threw it, like Moses threw the piece of food, and he threw it in the water. That's the problem of to receive the word in our life, to receive the piece of wood in our life, to receive the salt in our life, to receive the word in our life. So, when Jesus said that I'm in the Father, and you are in me, I think that this verse, you remember it, when we said that it has to be John 14, verse 20. 14, verse 20. You can just see it quickly, and then John. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The cross should be inside the water. And when the salt is in the water, what can we say? The water is in the salt as well. And here, this is what is explained as, said that the law, this commandment should be inside our heart, in the new heart. This is the new covenant. It's not the covenant Jesus, God has done with the people of Israel when they were in desert. The new covenant, Jesus writes now his commandment in our heart. He wrote it in our heart. Everyone has commandment of God in his heart here. Let us see in the book of Hebrews 10. We'll start from 15. Yeah. The Holy Spirit also testified to us about this. What you are talking about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and I will write them on their mind. God has put his law in our heart. He has put his law in our heart. He wrote it. It's not now on the stones, like when Moses went to the mountain and came with it and was angry. He threw it, he broke it. But now it's in our heart. This word, this law of God, is in our heart. Do you need blessing from God? Just open your heart. Bring a new bowl to the Lord. A new heart. When you are talking about new heart, is when we believe that in Jesus we have everything. This is the grace to receive only Jesus in our life. This is the grace. As you said that the law came through Moses, but the grace and truth come from Jesus. The life we have it, the eternal life, the everlasting life, we have it through Jesus. And the Bible says that, I look at this testimony, we have the life. The life is in his Son. Who has the Son has life. And the one who doesn't have Son, he doesn't have life. But people used to say that, no, we are praying the same God. You know, everybody, we believe in God. We are praying the same God. No, we are not praying the same God. If you don't believe that Jesus is the one who came in this earth to save people, Jesus is the only one who came now. He said that we have to obey his command. No, we are not praying the same God. We will pray God who teach us to forgive others. To love my neighbor. This is the second command. Said that love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is Jesus. Say that he writes it in our spirit. He writes it in our heart. So no one can say that, no, I don't know. I don't know the law. I don't know the command. It is in our heart. If you are truly child of God, just believe that you have the law in your heart. But if we believe now in this law, just salvation or something else, if you like the command of God, there is some reward we'll get in our life. There is blessing behind the law. If you obey, there is a blessing. And if we don't obey, what is waiting for us? The curse. Hallelujah. Let us read now something, and I think that we'll see now the benefit of the law, the benefit of command. If you obey, the first thing, the law will refresh our mind. In the book of Psalm 19, I want you to get now. Refreshment or refresher? Paul can tell me. Refreshment. To receive refreshment. Or refresher. Hey, amen. You know that some word is very complicated. You can say refresher, refreshment, say maybe to go somewhere, to sit down, to start to drink. It's a refreshment. But refresher, sometimes is something coming. Is it like that? Because I remember that at my work, I just see one man, he asked me, what are you going to do today? I said, no, I have refreshment training. He said, no. You cannot say refreshment. That's a refresher course. That's why I asked Paul to tell me. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. If you have trouble, if you continue with this word, we read it in the book of John, you will see that God is giving us peace through His Spirit. That's why I say that the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. My brother, sister, if we understand this, we'll read the Bible morning and night. Because we understand that is perfect, refreshing our soul. If some event of this life, I have some bill I cannot pay, just read the Bible. I say that, how it can be possible. Yeah, this is what the Bible said to me. I read the Bible and say that, refreshing my soul. I don't sleep in the night. I say, oh, now I'm feel loneliness. I need to sleep. Just read the Bible. You sleep. It's perfect. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The second thing, the law will make you wise. Do you know that there are some relationships which are broken in our life because of lack of wisdom? Lack of wisdom. But they say that here is very, say that making wise the simple. The simple is someone who humble himself in the front of the Lord. I humble myself to the Lord because I believe that through Him I will get wisdom. It makes us wise. It gives joy to our heart. The law of the Lord is perfect. Yeah, we can continue. Verse 8. We say that refreshing our soul, and so that it makes us wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Do you need joy of the Lord? Jesus said in the same place in the book of John 14, he said that, I'm giving you my peace. If you have peace, you have joy. You cannot say that, no, I have peace, but I don't have joy. No. And you cannot say that I have joy, but I don't have peace. Is the same thing. He said that giving joy to the heart, love him with all your heart, and the Lord is giving joy to our heart. That's why someone is happy, he's smiling. Amen. I remember, I just want to remember that word you teached me last time. If there are some people, they never smile. They are like in movie. Like Rambo in movie. Rambo. He never smile, never laugh. Even they do this, is it tickling? Ah, remember. You come, you do tickling. Never smile. And here they say that the Lord is giving joy. You can jump for the Lord. You can sing for Him. And this is the secret of people of Israel. All the time when God is doing something good for them, they have to sing. Moses sang. David was singing for God. So many songs. And Solomon as well. He sang for Jesus. Joy in the heart. You can be at home. When you are working, just start to sing for the Lord. Will you tell me that, oh, no, Emmanuel, I'm not a singer. No, God will give you strength. And the Holy Spirit will start to sing inside you. Amen. 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 Can you say aloud amen now?
Amen.
So I just want to give some reason why we have to read the law, the command of the Lord, and they say that the command of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Do we need light for your eyes to see everything clearly in your life? You need command of the Lord. Do not be surprised by your enemy. Amen. No. God will teach you, will show you so many things. When you read and you keep His command in your heart, He will show you the way to follow. That's why the psalm says that the command or the commandment of the Lord is like the lamp on my feet. In the book of Psalm 119 and verse 105. 119 and 105. He said that the word, the commandment, the word of God is like the lamp on my feet. When you have it, you have light in your life. You will not be in darkness. God will show you the way. You are in front of some situation, God show you what you have to do. You'll become a prophet of your life, prophet of your family. You need this gift, and you get it only when you keep God's command. So that's going to go quickly. The fourth thing, it gives light to our eyes, as we said. And fifth thing, it gives us hope. Sixth, it brings comfort in affliction. And seven, it keeps us from falling into the enemy's traps. There is enemy's traps in front of us, but if you read the word of God, it will keep us. You will not fall in the trap of enemies. He will show you clearly. He come to Jesus. He said that the devil take him to the top of the mountain and show him everything. It's not God who took him. Sometimes it's God who come, it's the devil who come and take some people somewhere. It's not God. The Bible showed that it's the devil. The devil came to tempt him in the desert. Temptation. And Jesus looked at, they said, look at everything. I give you all the things. That's why I said, if you are under the grace, you will say no. Like Jesus said no to the devil. Oh, I'm a Christian. I need now a big car. You go now to take the debt of the car, which has cost 100,000. And then to pay it, it's very big. Oh, God, where are you? No, God will not come to you. God will tell you that you have to work. Look at your work. You get 100,000 pounds as a salary. And you go to take the car, which has cost 80,000. And they said, God help me. God will just look at you like. I said that I'm not there, my son. You have to be careful. God give us wisdom. Before to do something, just accept that. Know that God is with you in everything you are doing. So here, if we stay here, there are so many things you can talk about God's command. But I think that next time we'll continue. So this is the benefit of keeping God's command. Love God with your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is the command of God. And if you have this love, this is inside our heart. And this, if Jesus is inside our heart, it means that we have God's commandment in our heart. He writes it in our heart because Jesus is living inside us. And if Jesus is living inside us, we have everything we need through the cross of Jesus. God bless you for today.